The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to involve yourself with this broadcast this morning. So, yeah, just charging straight into fall. It's clearly here from a weather perspective. I mean, it's not summer anymore. Of course, anything could happen between the time I record this on Wednesday this week, actually, instead of Monday because of the Labor Day holiday. So I'm only a few days behind, but my guess is that this weather pattern is going to continue to decline in the highs and the lows. So it's that time, pumpkin spice, canning, harvest, all of the things, that cycle. And it's pretty nice. I mean, my daughter told me that she loves fall the best, football, all that stuff. And she's excited. She's going to be going off to school next year, college. She's looking at a few different places. And they all have football teams. That's not the only reason she's picking her schools, but she definitely wants to go to a place where you're going to have Saturday football. And hey, man, I don't blame her. Now, I went to Oklahoma State. Of course, I went there. I graduated high school in 88. So my freshman year was the year that Barry Sanders won the Heisman. And we, at that time at Oklahoma State, were playing in a stadium that really, it was a little bit nicer than the high school stadiums in Oklahoma. So it was a different deal before T. Boone Pickens wrote the big check and we built the $400 million stadium. But I remember Saturday fall football games when you're in college. Man, there's nothing better. We used to go to this place called Eskimo Joe's in Stillwater, and they had the best chili cheese fries on the planet. And I have, over the years, tried other chili cheese fries and never to ever find any as good. And then you would dip them in ranch dressing. It was not a healthy day on game day. I'll just say that. It was not filled with healthy choices and healthy decisions. But it was fun. It sure was fun. You know, well, I'm not looking forward to her being gone because I will miss her dearly and dreadfully. And I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat thinking about just not having access to that love that you've had from the moment that we saw her first little heartbeat flicker on the ultrasound to now. It's just been a different planet that I've been living on. And it's going to be a different planet in a different way because of the distance, which I've just never had. I mean, I don't know that I've ever gone 2 weeks without seeing her in her entire life. So, yeah, that first 2 weeks next fall after I drop her off, I may just have to cry myself to sleep every night. But, you know, that is the way of the world. And my job with her is not nearly done, but my job of getting her to be ready to go stand on her own 2 feet, at least to some extent. I mean, college isn't exactly the real world, but it's more of the real world than high school. And hopefully she will continue to do very well. She's done very well academically. Both of my daughters have. And I think that's why this fall has me really, I mean, there's just a lot of movement emotionally in my life this fall. And I think it's because I know it's my last fall with my daughter. It's her last birthday coming up in the house, last Christmas, last Thanksgiving, all those things. It's going to be the last of it, while, you know, as far as having her live in the home. And those of you who are empty nesters know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Certainly there's that rebellious teenager phase that they all, by definition, have to go through to some extent, that I think is designed to make it where it's not a total heartbreak for the parents. Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I won't miss that. But mostly my kids are great kids, and I will miss them terribly. But anyway, I digress. It's just, it's like I said, it's this fall is really hitting me hard as far as a change of seasons in life, because it absolutely will be the biggest season change I've had in my life since she was due. And certainly since she was born. And then, of course, my second daughter just added to the magnitude of it. But now when she leaves, of course, it'll be even a bigger. Then I don't know. I do have my dogs and my wife. Not in that order. I have my wife and my dogs. No, definitely. My wife is awesome. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to do fun things. But yeah, it's going to be a wild, wild change. And so this is Sunday after you're listening, Sunday after the Cy-Hawk game. And I don't know. It's Wednesday. I don't know who won. So that'll be exciting weekend. And half the state will be sad today, and half the state will be very happy today. So I'm happy for the happy people and sad for the sad people. I don't have a dog in the fight. Historically, I have backed Iowa State because I went to Oklahoma State, so I get the little brother school in the state and all that stuff and the animosity and all that, you know. But I think Caitlin Clark just brought the Hawkeyes into my heart a little bit more than they ever were, because I didn't really have any reason. But I just love watching her play so much and loved watching her play at Iowa so much that I kind of got a little bit of Hawkeye pride. So I can back both and be happy for both. And, you know, most of the year they're not playing each other, so I can cheer for Big Ten Hawkeyes and Big 12 Iowa State when they're not playing Oklahoma State. Of course, Oklahoma State probably not going to be too hot this year once again, but that's been the story for most of my life, so I'm used to it. So I just talked to a patient of mine who had been to the Iowa game, and I had replaced his knee, and now he was about 60 pounds over the limit for what is reasonable to do a knee replacement. So I got him started on, he chose to do the keto diet. You know, I talk about, I say, listen, do, and I say this, if you're obese, you're doing something wrong, and there's a lot of different ways to correct that ship. I chose the carnivore diet after having mediocre success with keto. Carnivore was great for me. He chose keto. He says he's carnivore a lot and then goes keto a lot. And that's kind of where I am now on my maintenance phase, but in the weight loss phase, boy, I was strict carnivore. But, you know, and there's the Mediterranean diet. There's all kinds of different diets. But, I mean, he told me that the last sugary soda drink he drank was the day that he saw me in my office, and he had not had one since. And I said, you know what, that might be half. You never know. I mean, that's probably, if you are, let's say, 50 to 100 pounds overweight, dropping the sugary beverages is probably worth 20, 25 pounds. I mean, they're just so bad. There's nothing in nature that prepares you to have that level of a sugar load, 60 grams or whatever it is in a big soda. There's nothing in nature that your body was programmed or designed to deal with metabolically. There's nothing analogous. There's no fruit, although some fruits are pretty bad. Bananas are pretty bad. They are almost straight sugar, and they affect you just about as much as orange juice. Now, oranges aren't quite as bad because it's really not, the juice to pulp to ratio is low enough on an orange that it's not nearly as bad as like drinking orange juice. But bananas are pretty bad as far as your sugar goes. And if sugar is a problem for you, then now you know. But it's really, you know, he was telling me how much fun he had at the games. And now he says, you know, I walk around and I'm not getting winded after 10 or 15 feet. And I'm just enjoying my life more. And I'm going to come back this fall and do my other knee. And it's just, those are, like I said, I love giving a patient a new knee because it's typically really life-altering in what they're able to do that they weren't able to do before their knee replacement. But especially when it's able to be in the context of an entire life transformation, health transformation. That's when I feel the most excited about it. That's, you know, I think part of it's just human nature. I've struggled with weight my whole life, and so to help somebody overcome their weight and their poor health, in addition to giving them a new knee, it's a grand slam home run for me emotionally. I love it. Nothing has made me more enthusiastic over time. I had a guy who had lost 100 pounds, and back then I didn't even have any. Years ago, I would just say, well, figure something out, lose the weight, because I didn't know. I'm like, well, I've been trying to, until I, you know, got keto and then carnivore. But he had found another thing, a program, and I don't remember the name of it, but he found great success. You have a coach and you drink these shakes and then you eat certain meals. I mean, that's awesome. And I've done something like that. But what I found is that's not always making sure you buy the snacks from the company. And then you're always, you know, worried about, man, I don't worry meal to meal what I'm going to eat. I'm just going to eat meat and a little bit of cheese. On the weekends, there's just so much stuff at my house. Sometimes there's some chips or something, but I never have like pizza, at least the crust. Sometimes I'll eat the toppings off of them, like a little meat and cheese. I won't eat like a piece of pizza. And after my 1 year of carnivore, so I'm, you know, halfway through my second year, past halfway through, 9 months after. But at the end of my first year, everything was better. My triglycerides were way better. And that's a marker of insulin resistance, which is prediabetes. So my hemoglobin A1C dropped a little bit, although it was never super high. My resting blood sugar went down. My C-reactive protein went down. My total cholesterol went down. My LDL went down. My HDL went up. These are all things you want. So all of my metabolic markers of health improved dramatically after a year. And I think whatever you're going to do, if you're going to make the choice, and I highly suggest it. I highly suggest it's the last quarter of the year. And so you sort of, by definition, you have to start thinking about, is there a plan? I mean, I always do. And I think it's a good practice to think of a plan for all the different aspects of your life. Well, what am I going to do, you know, career-wise this year? What am I going to do family-wise this year? What's my goal with my wife relationship? What's my goal with my health? And it's a super, super time to start getting very serious about doing a health transformation starting January 1st, because that gives you time. And this is how I think of a successful way to do it, is you have to find what something that you think you can tolerate. If it's the Mediterranean diet, you know, you're all good with lots of salads and olive oil. And I think there's a fair amount of, you know, fish protein and maybe some chicken. They don't do a lot of red meat, but it's a way. Carnivore or keto, or if you think one of those programs is going to be long-term successful for you, where like a Weight Watchers style, where you're using their particular foods most of the time, you know, whatever you think is going to be successful, map it out, figure out how you're going to do it, and then start getting ready. And then when you go through the holidays, you can say, all right, this is bad. I know it's bad, but I'm just right around the corner here, January 1st. I'm changing everything. So I'm going to try to cut back a little bit, but I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace over the holidays. Maybe I'll go ahead and have some stuffing and potatoes. I just won't have the second and third and fourth helpings. That's one of my big downfalls is, homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes used to be the bulk of what I would eat on Thanksgiving. I have maybe a piece of pie, but man, the stuffing and potatoes. And then, of course, dinner's over at 5 or 3 or whatever, and then at 10 o'clock at night, I'm getting a big plate of stuffing and potatoes. So if you have your plan and you say, all right, so starting January 1st, I'm going to do, or even January 2nd, that way if you're going to watch football and eat wings and stuff on the 1st or whatever. But I think the successful way to do it is you pick a date. You, first of all, you make the decision. I'm going to get healthier this year. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. If you're 85, there's very few people at any age, certainly when you're past your 30s or 40s, very few people who can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I just can't get any healthier. I just don't think I can do it. So whatever your condition of health is, make a decision that, hey, 2026 is going to be the year I turn my health back in a good direction. And then choose how you're going to do it. You may want to talk to your doctor if you have a lot of health things going on. I wouldn't, you know, if you're diabetic and have several other things happening, you could certainly talk to your doctor about it. Although I don't know that the American Diabetes Association diet, I've never seen anybody have a lot of success as far as weight loss and stuff. But then there's Wegovy and the GLP inhibitors. I neither recommend nor don't recommend them. I don't know enough about them. I knew they weren't for me because I felt like there are some things about them that I didn't want to get involved with. But my aunt has been doing Wegovy, and she has lost 60 pounds and kept it off. And at the same time, my uncle has done it, and he has not adapted his diet. And he's just frustrated because, you know, he can't figure out why he takes the medication and still doesn't lose weight, but it's the diet. I mean, you got to shift. You can't just eat fewer donuts. You got to change it up. So make the decision, decide on how you're going to do it. Consult with your doc if you think that your health is in a situation where a major change like that is going to be something that just needs some kind of monitoring. Figure out an exercise program. It does not matter. Now, you don't have to exercise to lose weight, like on the carnivore and the keto and Atkins, those kind of diets, the ketogenic diets they're called. But whatever you're doing to lose weight, you will improve it if you exercise in addition. And that can be just walking. Don't forget to lift some weights. I always say that, you know, even if it's a couple pounds in your upper body, lift some weights. So make the decision. You're going to change your life 2025. Get it in your head. Put it on your calendar. Pick a method, whether it involves medication or not medication or just diet, and then do add some exercise, I think is a good idea if it's possible for you. Consult with your physician if you think that your health is in a situation where a major change like that can have some sort of danger attached to it. And then start telling people. That was big for me, is I was like, yep, I'm starting this carnivore diet January 1st. This was a couple years ago, of course. And almost 2 years ago from right now, I made that decision because I got to do something. I've just not gotten this under control. When you tell people, you put a lot of pressure on yourself for sure, but pressure can be a good thing. I mean, if you can't walk around and tell people for 3 months you're going to do something and then quit after 2 weeks. And then you'll be like, oh, man. And, you know, if you do, then get right back up on the horse and say, all right, now I'm starting February 1st. But that's sort of what I think is a successful way to begin this whole process, is make your decision, choose your method, add in some exercise, speak to your doctor if you think it's necessary from a health perspective as far as maintaining your health and not getting into trouble with your diet. Put it on your calendar and then tell people. Hold yourself accountable by tell your friends, tell your wife, your husband, tell your kids, tell your parents, hey man, I'm going to do this diet. And then tell people at work. And then when they see you in the snack room and you've got your beef jerky there and they're all eating donuts, you can say, no, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, they might even see the weight melt off you and get inspired too. But mostly, you know, I just think it's a good time of year to get yourself in the mindset to do something positive for your health in the next year. And that will absolutely improve if your knees and or your hips hurt. Losing 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds or more will make a difference, almost certainly. And either way, it's going to be better for your heart, better for your happiness, and better for how you're going through the world. So let's start off this last third of the year with at least some thought process of making 2026 a year of health and well-being. All right, well, very good. That's the show this week, and thank you all very much, Dr. Rick Godding, and I will be back next week and have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.